Hello, everybody. Welcome into Locked On Colts, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Today, as always, your host, Evan Sutter, and joined by a very special guest, a returning guest, Zach Hicks of Stampede Blue. How are you doing today, Zach?
Pretty good, man. Thanks for having me on. Really excited about this Colts draft, man.
Oh, for sure. We were just talking about off the air. I think they did a really good job. I'm surprised, actually. I've seen grades from, like, Mel Kiper, Todd McShay. Are you surprised, actually, before we get into that, just the perception, or maybe some national media kind of scared the maybe go against Chris Bauer this time around, because I've seen a lot of A's for this class, and it kind of surprised me a little bit there.
Yeah, no, I definitely think they're a little scared. I mean, you would be too if people were given, if you gave a team an F grade or a D grade or even a C grade last year, and they turned out, two all pros and a couple solid starters. Yeah, I would definitely be scared of Ballard proving me wrong, so I completely understand why they're kind of overcompensating and giving them A's and A-pluses. Not that I'm saying that this draft class wasn't good, but, they're raving about this class because they don't want to be proven wrong again.
Yeah, I'm right there with you, and especially when you see the reviews that from Darius Leonard last year, and he saved all those on his phone, according to Zach Heaper, so that's just motivation for him. But let's dive in. Before we get into the pick, Zach, I want to talk about the trade they made first off on day one. I stayed up for about four and a half hours, and then when we got to pick 26, unfortunately, they traded out of that pick. But I think it was the best move all around, because when you look at the draft value chart, they probably got a top 35, top 40 pick from the Washington Redskins and moved back from 26. They pick up the 46th pick. They get Ben Banigou, who we'll talk about in a little bit there. But what do you think about those two picks, or excuse me, that trade? Because you see the Redskins, they get Montez Sweat in that deal, but getting another second round pick, I just think Chris Bauer knows how to play the draft, and he's playing really chess against checkers.
Yeah, no, I mean, obviously you could look at it from one aspect, like maybe you could have got a little bit more than just 2 seconds, especially the Redskins. The Redskins have a pretty solid team, but not great, but they should be probably like a mid-round pick again next year. But Ballard knows what he's doing. He knows that there's a lot of value in having those second-round picks because, for second-round pick, we saw a lot of guys this past draft, that were bona fide first-round guys fall into that second round, that late second round. The second round is where you can really find some good contributors. And say Rocky Sin was the top guy on his board there in the first round. He knew that if he moved back, he could still get Rocky Sin. He could still get Ben Benigou. He had a plan for who he was going to get. And, that trade back has added more capital for next year. So although it does kind of suck for all of us staying up and watching the draft and really, anxiously waiting for that pick, I think it was the right move to get this team building for the future still with the second round pick next year.
I'm right there with you. And before we dive into that, were there any names there on the board at 26 that you were thinking of? Because I know you really weren't a fan of Rocky Sin at 26, but were there some names there you thought maybe went off the board the Colts were going to trade back for? Or you think that it sounds like Rocky Sin was their guy all the way? They just moved back, got the extra capital.
Yeah, it does seem like the Rocky Sin was their guy. And there was a lot of things alluding to it beforehand. A lot of writers were saying that he was the number one corner on the Colts board and that the Colts were looking for another corner this whole offseason. So it kind of made sense that he was their top guy. And I'm glad that Ballard just didn't sit there and take him at 26. Not saying it would have been a horrible pick. I didn't love the selection if he would have gone at 26. I would prefer someone more upside there, even though I like Rocky Sin. But being in that position, knowing your board and knowing that you can move back and still get the guys you want, I like that. And, Montez Sweat, I think, would have been a good pick there. It's a lot of what the Colts like, bigger guy, really athletic. But, overall, they still got their target they want on the defensive end, who's athletic in Ben Banigou, and they also got Rocky Sin. So not much to be upset about. And, again, that second-round pick next year should come in handy.
That's for sure. Once again, three straight years where the Colts are going to have multiple second-round picks, and Chris Bauer loves those picks, so I don't really see him moving those anytime soon. And let's dive into our first prospect on the board, Zach. Rocky Sin, who went 34th overall to the Indianapolis Colts. He's a 6'1", 192-pound corner out of Temple. He was at Presbyterian for 3 years before transferring up to Temple, and he really showed himself there. Has long arms, 32 inches. And you saw at the Senior Bowl as well, he was really sticking with guys like Deebo Samuel, Hunter Renfrow, those really fast, twitchy receivers that can be in the slot. And also as an aggressive press guy on the outside, it just seems like there's a lot of untapped upside maybe with Rocky Sin we don't know about yet.
Yeah, something I really like about Rocky Sin, I actually had the opportunity to talk to him a little bit down the Senior Bowl. I think there's a couple questions up that I was able to ask him at the Senior Bowl on Stampede Blue. But you know, the biggest thing with him is just press man coverage. Former wrestler out of high school. I think he was an all state wrestler in high school. So you really love seeing that out of your corners. Do that ability to fight, understand your leverage, understand how to get in guys' faces, and really hit them the line of scrimmage. I really like seeing that wrestling background with corners. And then another thing with him, you know, that a lot of people aren't understanding is, you know, he was a Temple Tough player last year. And if people don't know what that means, you know, he went from 3 years of Presbyterian, transfers to Temple, and he earns the single digit, which is awarded to the 9 toughest players on the roster. So to go from Presbyterian to Temple and get that, you know, that leadership, that recognition, that honor of a single digit number, that says a lot. But jumping to his field play, he's a bit raw. You know, his footwork isn't great, you know, but that's to be expected because he didn't really get high-level coaching at Presbyterian all those years. His footwork's not great, but what you do see is, again, that physicality at the line of scrimmage. You see the flashy ball skills. You see a guy who's always competitive. And I think all that combined really makes up a corner that could fit well with this locker room. And I think he's going to have that Desir type impact. You know, he's a guy who can play man at the line of scrimmage. He can also drop in the zone, and he's a very willing tackler. So overall, you know, I don't love the pick. I like a couple other corners better, but I really like that he really fits this team, and I think he's a good pick for the culture.
Do you think he's a day one starter, Zach? As I've seen a lot of people, I personally think he will be. I think he's going to beat out Quincy Wilson in camp, but do you think Quincy Wilson's maybe posed for a breakout season, maybe this motivates a guy like Quincy Wilson as well? Because, I mean, Rocky Sin, I mean, Jim Irsay was talking about, even Chris Bauer, they think Rocky Sin's going to be a starter, and that means Quincy Wilson might be going to the bench here soon. What do you think is going to be the depth? I mean, they have good depth now at cornerback, and that's a good sight to see, I think, for the first 4 or 5 years from now.
Yeah, and I think the biggest issue that, at least in my opinion, what I saw last year watching all their games for all the film rooms and all the stuff I was doing, was they only had 3 corners pretty much on this roster. You know, it was Kenny Moore, Pierre Desir, Quincy Wilson. If one of those guys was not on the field, you know, the other guys were not making impact whatsoever. So now having another corner in Rocky Sin added just makes him so much better. It opens up Quincy Wilson to maybe even playing a little bit more of that dime linebacker spot that we saw him play a little bit during a stretch last year. But it just opens up more possibilities, more competition, which I really like. But I do think Rocky Sin will beat out Quincy Wilson. I just think he's a little bit more physical. I think he just brings more of that competitive nature. Not to say that Quincy Wilson doesn't. Just saying, I think that Rocky Sin fits the scheme a little bit better. But, you know, all those guys together, I think that's just a really good group of corners. And it really makes them more flexible, say, if Kenny Moore wants too much money after this next free agent period, or he leaves in free agency, they have another corner they can just jump right in there. So, you know, having 4 good corners is definitely better than having just 3, and that competition and that, you know, depth is going to be really valuable.
Before we go into our next pick, Ben Banigou, Zach, I wanted to ask you just a forward-thinking question about the corner position, because this, when they selected Rocky Sin, this was my first thought, that I think Pierre Desir, this is his last year in Indianapolis, because you see he has a front-loaded contract, he has non-guarantees after this year. Do you think if Rocky Sin and Quincy Wilson and Kenny Moore all step up this year and really grow and develop together, do you think they're going to let go of Pierre Desir after this year if they can?
Yeah, you know, they absolutely could. And that's just – I think that's a thing that Ballard was anticipating. You know, not that Desir's back corner whatsoever, and Desir definitely fits the culture and fits everything, but Rocky Sin's a very similar corner to Pierre Desir. You know, preferably the Colts like having, you know, a very zone lengthy corner on one side, and then you have your more man lockdown guy on the other side who can excel in press. So last year when they had Kenny Moore blitzing and doing all his stuff, and then they had Quincy Wilson kind of as your off corner on the other side, they had Pierre Desir locking down number one receivers, being physical on the scrimmage, and that's kind of what Rocky Sin fits. So, you know, if they want to develop him as a Pierre Desir replacement, I think that would be a smart move there. So, again, there's so many avenues that could go with this. If Kenny Moore leaves after the season, if they want to move on from Pierre Desir, they have a lot of options now that they have a good cornerback group, which that's my favorite thing that came out of this draft class was just depth at the cornerback position, because they just did not have that depth last year. So I'm really happy they addressed that.
Yeah, over the years, Zach, they just got torched so many times with just a lack of depth. And we saw the Tim Jennings of the world. That just didn't go well there. And hopefully, with a guy like Rocky Sin on board, with guys like Kenny Moore and Quincy Wilson Pierce here, it's going to be a really solid group at the cornerback position. But let's go on to Ben Banigou here, Zach, and your overall thoughts on him. Because when I see him and I watch his combine tape, I'm like, my goodness, this guy's a physical freak. And I saw his linebacker drills. He has very, very, very fluid hips, and I think he's a guy. I think Chris Bauer's right on the money there compared to Jamie Collins, because he's a guy who's a physical freak. He can run all over the field. He can cover all the field. It seems like they're kind of going to use Banigou as a Swiss Army knife on the defensive end.
Yeah, no, I love that pick. So I wrote a film room for Santee Blue that came out yesterday. You guys can go check it out on the site there. But, man, I really like that pick. You know, I just like what they can do with him. When I went into his film room, I wasn't super excited just because, you know, I knew that he was a twitched-up athlete, but I didn't really understand how they're going to use him. But when you watch the film, you can see just from, you know, the things he excels at, he's a great run defender. And by that, I don't mean that he takes on blocks well and sheds them. He's actually kind of poor at taking on blocks and fighting through the contact. But the one thing he's really, really good at is, you know, understanding gaps, understanding run plays, reading the field. I think he has a great vision as a linebacker. And when you watch the film, you could see, hey, this guy could really fit as a Sam backer. So I really like that initial role for him, that they're going to put him at Sam backer. And then the second thing I really loved, the one thing I was really excited about was he was so good on stunt plays, stunts and twists. Just coming up the middle, he's so quick, so twitchy, so fast, so strong. He's just too much for guards to handle. So when he's going on those twists and stunts, you could really see the role that Chris Ballard and Matt Eberflus were really anticipating for him. You know, that Sam backer on early downs, and then you can put him on the line of scrimmage on those pass downs, and he can twist his stunt inside and really create pressure. So the more I watched his film for that film room, the more I really dug deep, the more I really understood what they're going to use him with, and I'm really excited for his potential this next year.
I really love the idea of using him first, second down as that linebacker, maybe subbing Bobby Okereke on that third down package. You move Banigou to the edge there, maybe move Justin Houston inside. That's going to be a really terrifying possibility for offensive lines, because if you move Houston inside and Banigou on the outside on the same side, what do you think about the possibilities on our defensive line? Because I was just doing a depth chart this morning, Zach, and adding in Banigou, even though he's not technically a defensive line, he's a linebacker, but if you want to classify him as a part-time edge, it seems like they have so much depth now on defensive line. I know they didn't hit interior defensive line in this draft class, but there's really a 9 or 10 man, adding Banigou, 11 guys in that rotation they could use.
Yeah, no, it's great, though. The one thing that I summarized my Ben Banigou film room with is just that out of this draft, the Colts came away with more competitiveness, more versatility, and more depth. And I think that is just a huge aspect of this draft. You know, on the defensive line last year, if, say, when Tyquan Lewis was hurt last year, it was Alkid and Muhammad. It was a lot of, you know, barely rosterable guys. And, you know, I'm not saying I dislike their game. It's just the talent wasn't really there if a top guy was missing. Now, say you're missing a guy, you can throw in a Ben Banigou on the line of scrimmage, put Matthew Adams back at Sam. There's just a lot of possibilities. There's a lot of guys who can move around. And I think that's just huge. You know, the possibilities are endless. And for a very unique and creative defense coordinator like Matt Eberflus, I think it's just really exciting as a fan and as a writer to see what he's going to do with all these athletic freaks on the defensive line and in the linebacker core. So definitely a great draft from that aspect, and I really like what they can do with these guys.
Yeah, Banigou is a super exciting prospect. Like we said, a twitched-up athlete who I think is going to be a perk fit in Matt Eberflus' system, really all over the field at linebacker and defensive line. But let's go into our next pick, Zach, which was not Bobby Okereke, it was Paris Campbell. And for me, when I watch Paris Campbell, the more I think he's my favorite pick of this draft class, because I think he's a guy who has way more untapped upside as far as an outside receiver than we know about. And if you saw the combine, he ran routes really, really well. Frank Reich said that at his press conference alongside Chris Ballard. And you see the possibilities as far as slot, too. I mean, he was a monster out of the slot. I think 50% of his catches were on bubble screens and those slant routes. It seems like he's a guy, for a team who's desperate for yards after catch, he's the perfect fit.
Oh, yeah. This is definitely the most fun pick of this class. This is the draft pick that, you know, all the fantasy guys, all the, you know, people who don't really follow teams really, really heavily will be like, this is the pick. Right here, you know, Paris Campbell, he's going to be exciting this next year. And you could tell that, you know, Frank Reich's face lights up every time he even talks about him, anytime he even thinks about Paris Campbell, I'm sure. He's going to be a really fun mix in this offense, you know. Last year they had a lot of guys who could catch the ball and not really create after the catch outside of T.Y. Hilton. T.Y. Hilton created a little bit. But overall, you know, the guys didn't really create much after the catch. Dontrell Inman was more of a possession type guy. And Zach Pascal, all those type of guys, they would just kind of catch it and get tackled. But Paris Campbell's not that at all. You know, he's basically like a running back in the open field. So what they could do with him from the screen game, from the slant game, from as an underneath receiver, on third downs when Luck needs some help, what he can create with the ball in his hands. You know, from those reverses that Zach Pascal was getting last year, you know, it's just an endless opportunity here. And if he can really develop his game and become more of a downfield guy, because he didn't really catch many balls downfield last year, the potential is just insane with him. So his initial role is probably more of that Chester Rogers type role that Rogers played last year. But the potential is just, you know, it could be huge. So I love this pick. I think they can do so much with him, and it's going to be really exciting to see what they do.
Let me ask you this. Adding in a weapon like Paris Campbell, who there's a lot of possibilities, I think, for him. There's some star upside, I think, with him, just because if he learns how to run routes, really a refined route tree, he could be a really good receiver. But even if he's like a DJ Moore or a Tavon Austin type of guy, he's going to be a really valuable piece in this offense. What do you see now adding in a Paris Campbell with a T.Y. Hilton, Devin Funchess, Deion Kane, Eric Ebron, Jack Doyle, Marlon Mack, Naeem Hines, and keep going if we want to, Zach. There's just so much weapons here on offense that I think the Colts offense could be really scary next year.
Yeah, 100%. And the biggest thing, again, like I said earlier, it's that depth, that competitiveness, that versatility. Because last year when Deion Kane went down with an injury, the Colts didn't really have much of an answer until they signed Dontrell Owenman halfway through the year. So the Colts really put themselves in a good position this offseason where it's like, look, if someone goes down, we're not going to be in a bad situation. You know, they did it later in the draft too. Like if say like Mark Lewinsky goes down on the offensive line, we have guards, we have guys who have won competitions that can take over. If a receiver goes down, hey, we have Deion Kane, we have these 5 or 6 receivers that are fighting for a spot at the bottom of the roster. We have a lot of guys that are fighting for spots and guys who are going to earn their place on this roster. Whereas last year it was kind of a lot of guys who, not that they were bad players, it's just they weren't really the level of competition that you want as your depth. So a lot of depth, a lot of versatility, and yeah, the 100 weapons on offense, I mean, that only adds to Luck and Frank Reich's arsenal there. So just, again, a great draft from that aspect.
One more thing on Paris Campbell before we go on to Bobby Okereke, who was our third-round pick. Do you think Paris Campbell has the upside to eventually get that baton passed to him from T.Y. Hilton down the line as far as number one receiver?
He could. No, I mean, he has all the upside. Like, again, Ohio State guy, track star speed, good hands. Like, he does it all. It's just, you know, refining those routes, get him more experience going down the field, catching the ball a little bit more from his frame, setting up defenders with his routes. There's a lot of nuance, a lot of aspects there. But the biggest thing is he's learning from one of the best small receivers in football. You know, T.Y. Hilton is one of the best at using his size, understanding how to find openings, and using his elite speed. And Campbell can really learn a lot from him, and I think that those two are going to be, you know, really good together, just from the aspect of learning together and also playing side by side.
Yeah, those two together are going to take tops off defenses. 4.31 speed, 4.34 speed on the same field. It's going to be super exciting to watch this year from a Colts fan perspective. But let's go on to Bobby Okereke, Zach. He had 94 tackles last year, 7.5 for loss. He also had 3.5 sacks. He was a 4-year starter for Stanford. Kind of checks every box as far as character, as far as production and tape goes. 6'3", 234, longest wingspan of any linebacker in this class. And if you guys use mockdraftable.com out there, as far as athletic and combine numbers go, his top comparison by far was Darius Leonard. And pairing those two together and Anthony Walker, it could be one of the best young linebacker trios in the league here in very short order.
Yeah, no, and my favorite thing that I like about him is he's a pass-down linebacker. Just last year, the Colts, you know, Anthony Walker is a good run-stuffing linebacker, a good Mike, but I think his struggles really came on those pass downs. And Darius Leonard, again, was outstanding last year, but he did struggle a little bit on the pass downs. Adding a guy like Bobby Okereke, who, you know, he has a little bit of work to go in terms of his run fits and shedding blocks, but just his length and his size and his speed on those third downs, on those pass downs, is going to be so valuable. And I think a guy who can sub in and play alongside Darius Leonard on those pass downs is going to be so valuable. And then something I mentioned earlier, which I've mentioned this entire podcast now, is just the depth. You know, when Darius Leonard missed one series against the Dolphins, they went down the field in 4 plays and scored the easiest touchdown of the year against the Colts. When Anthony Walker missed time, when all these guys have missed time, the Colts have really struggled. So adding a guy like Bobby Okereke, even if he's not a starter, he can come right in. He can not. There won't be much of a drop off in play, and you know the Colts can still continue with business as usual, unlike last year where they had to kind of account for those guys. So I think, again, just from a depth perspective and also as a pass coverage linebacker, I think this is a great pick.
Let me ask you about that pass coverage with Okereke, because when I was at the Dolphins game last year, I believe another game too, that Anthony Walker was out with injury, I think. putting in Matthew Adams and Zaire Franklin, you could tell there was a huge gap as far as coverage skills of those two guys. And I think Okereke kind of fills those needs right there, because I think Adams and Franklin, even though they're kind of okay run stuffers, Okereke is just a light years better as far as coverage goes.
Yeah, 100%. And I think, again, that was just a big emphasis. And I think that Chris Ballard and Matt Eberflus, they saw that deficiency last year. I think because late last year, they signed, what was his name? Ahmad Thomas, I believe, off the Packers practice squad or off of free agency. And he was a former safety in college. They brought him in to kind of play linebacker for a couple games late in the year. And we actually saw him get some real snaps late in the year when there were some injuries. And it was, you know, a little bit confusing to people, like, why are we just throwing this street guy out there? But they really wanted a guy who covered in the pass game and a linebacker. It's just so important, a guy who can come up and make consistent tackles, a guy who's quick, he's fast, and can cover in the pass game. And I think Bobby Okereke just fits all those boxes there. So, again, from that aspect, just a great pick.
Yeah, those day two picks by the Colts there with Rocky Sin, Ben Banigou, you also have Paris Campbell and Bobby Okereke. That's a very strong haul for rounds two and three. But let's go into round four here. Kari Willis out of Michigan State, the safety. There's actually some really intriguing safety names still on the board when they trade up for him with the Cleveland Browns, 20 spots. Like Amani Hooker was still on the board. I'll say Deontay Thompson on the board. But Kari Willis, the more I watch him and the more you see him in interviews, Dak, he checks the character box. He checks the production box. And you also just see just how instinctive he is on the field as well. I mean, he tends to read things out and call them out before they even happen, pretty much.
Yeah, and I love Kari Willis. I actually had the pleasure of interviewing him this offseason, a couple days before the draft interview. So, again, that is up on Stampede Blue. But, yeah, some awesome things about him, too, some little cool facts. He was actually a running back in high school. He had over 2,000 yards rushing his senior year and over 20 – I think he had 27 touchdowns and over 2,000 yards rushing in his senior year of high school. But he comes to Michigan State, learns how to play safety, immediately becomes a captain and a team guy. And then the off-field work that he's done in the community is just outstanding as well. His dad has run a youth center there where he grew up. It's kind of a rough neighborhood, and he's, you know, put in hours and hours of work there. So just the off-field and also the captaincy at Michigan State and all that, you know, he checks every single box there. You know, his on-field play, though, it's pretty good. You know, he can cover in man. He can play that box. He can come downfield. And the biggest thing is that he is a very sure tackler. You know, Clayton Gathers is a good player. He comes downfield. He's very physical. He plays with his head on fire. But he's not the surest tackler in the world. Kari Willis is a very safe, calculated, sure tackler. And I think that's the biggest aspect that Chris Ballard is looking at. But again, just a guy who checks every single box. And you can definitely do a lot worse in the fourth round than a guy like that. He's going to come in, be very competitive, and he's going to win the support of a lot of teammates. Just a great locker room guy, and at the worst, he's going to be a solid special teamer.
Let's say that he does eventually take that place of Clayton Gathers after this season in 2020, and Kari Willis is starting alongside Malik Hooker. What do you like about those two together long term?
Yeah, they're fire and ice. They fit really well. You know, Malik Hooker's your rangy back end guy who can play all over the place. Where Kari Willis, he's the guy who can just you know, play that box. He can tackle. You can do kind of everything there in the box there. And I think they're gonna fit really well together.
Yeah, I think overall, just when you see the trade up 20 spots and they use both their fourth round picks to go get Kari Willis, they obviously coveted him. Chris Ballard even said in his press conference after the draft that they're considering taking him at 89 instead of 109. So they definitely valued Kari Willis. And he's probably going to be a starter once you get around the board in 2020 or so, because I think he's going to be the new Clayton Gathers alongside Malik Hooker. But let's go on to our final pick. We're going to go into more detail on, because I think EJ Speed in the offensive line, we didn't really dive into much before the draft. But Marvell Tell III, a safety and also a cornerback. He's going to be used as a press corner in Indianapolis. 6'2", 195. I pulled up his mock draftable page, and my goodness, his athletic traits are off the charts compared to most prospects. And if he hits, Zach, I think he's going to be a really valuable depth piece.
Yeah, and it was actually really funny. I had the chance to interview him the day before the draft. You know, it was a bit late in the process. And I texted his agent the second that the draft happened, like after they picked him. And I was like, did you know that they were the Colts were gonna draft him? Because like, why would you send me the interview the day before? And he was like, yeah, I had a good thought. Like, I had a good feeling. So the Colts were definitely high on him. They definitely wanted him, and they weren't really hiding it throughout the process with his agent. But yeah, I mean, they're gonna play him as a corner. They've been pretty transparent about that. Marvell Tell, when I talked to him, seemed pretty confident about switching the corner and playing in that cornerback role. A lot of teams did see him more as a corner. But he has great length, great athleticism. He's got great speed, great explosiveness. He has every intangible to be a good corner. He just hasn't played it since high school. So that's going to be a big thing. It's just that development, that learning. But he's a guy who really made some big jumps in his college career and was also a really good special teams player. So at worst, you know, you're going to have valuable depth at the corner position, a project that you can work on, and a guy who can, you know, maybe replace that Chris Milton type on special teams. So I just like the depth. I like the competitiveness, the athleticism, and he's going to be a really valuable piece on special teams.
Yeah, that's for sure. From day one, I think he's going to be a valuable special teamer. I think he has so much versatility as well. You can play him at corner. He also, I think you can use him as a Mark Barron type of role as a linebacker safety as well. Yeah. I think he's going to be all over the field for the Indianapolis Colts in the future. But, Zach, before we go on to maybe some undrafted free agents and some late rounders that we liked for the Colts, what were your overall thoughts on this draft class? Because I think for me it was speed, speed, speed. And what we saw against Kansas City in that snow when Tyreek Hill and other receivers were kind of going against – the secondary and doing pretty well. Also, the linebackers really struggling in that game. It's like Chris Ballard noticed the difference. He's catching up to those Chiefs pretty fast as far as the speed aspect goes.
Yeah, I mean, that was the biggest thing that Ballard put an emphasis on when he first came into this team. You know, we saw it last year with the guys they were taking. You know, when they took defenders last year, it wasn't, you know, who's the guy? The guy we traded last year for Lindsey Pipkins. I can't remember his name right now. The Florida linebacker, you know, the 5 second 40
time.
Oh,
yeah. Antonio Morrison.
Yes, Antonio Morrison. That's his name. But, you know, it wasn't those, you know, those slower guys. It wasn't those thumper type guys. You know, he made an emphasis to get in your Darius Leonards, you know, to get those athletic linebackers on the field. And then, you know, he got some quicker receivers out there, like Deion Kane was a faster receiver. Darius Fountain was a big, fast receiver. Naheem Hines on offense. We saw it last year. You know, he's building an athletic team because that's just what the NFL is now. It's not as much refinement in the NFL. It's so much speed and just attacking, you know, teams on offense and defense. And we saw it a lot with this draft too. Even though the big emphasis was on defense, you know, with the additions of Paris Campbell and all those other day two picks, it's just so fast. And that's a big thing that he wants. He wants his team to go fast. He wants them to be all over teams, offense and defense, and really wear down opponents. And, you know, when you add in with all those guys, they're great off field, they're great character, they're great competitiveness. I think he's building a really good culture that is just really athletic as well. And it's just going to be really fun to see how these guys progress with all these great coaching staff.
Yeah, the more I watch the tape of these guys after the fact of them selecting, I think this class could be really good. I don't know if it could be like last year when you have two All-Pros, but I think it's going to be a very solid group that's going to be contributing from day one. But, Zach, let's close things out here with some undrafted free agents that the Colts signed and who maybe should keep an eye on to make the roster, because I think we're both on the same page that if he shows out in camp, I think Penny Hart from Georgia State could be a guy who makes this roster.
Yeah, I love Penny Hart. I had a good chance to talk to him again this offseason. Just a really competitive guy, and he killed at the Senior Bowl. He was one of the toughest and best players down at the Senior Bowl this year. So I got to watch him firsthand down there, and he was outstanding. Very nuanced route runner, too. He could really play that slot role. He's just going to be a very good competition piece here in the offseason, and I think that, I think that was a really good pickup for them.
That was really the big name as far as UDFAs go. Were there any other ones that kind of stood out to you that maybe they could make the team or maybe at least give them a good run for their money?
The guys that the Colts signed or guys they missed out on there? Sorry, I missed that first part.
As far as the UDFAs they signed.
Yeah, so I think the other two big ones that do have a chance, one is Jamal Peters out of Mississippi State. He was a cornerback at Mississippi State. You know, I think he's going to play safety here in the NFL. I'm not saying he's better than any of the guys that have on the roster right now, but he definitely could be that UDFA type guy that comes in and competes. He had a really good film as corner, and he is a pretty good hitter as well. So I think he does have a chance. And then the other big one is Ashton Doolin, a receiver out of I don't even know his school. I know it's a really small school. I don't have it off the top of my head. But a super productive guy, super quick, really fast, had a great combine, apparently killed the interviews as well. He just played, I think he was like Division II or III. But yeah, he's a really productive guy, and he could definitely come in and win a spot with his athleticism. But those are the three big undrafted free agents that have a chance of making this roster.
Zach, to close things out here, I know we've hit on a lot of the main points in this Colts draft class, but If you had to give it a grade, I know giving grades out right after the draft's kind of a nuanced process, and I don't know if it's even worthy of a grade without even being on the field yet. But as far as preseason expectations after that draft, what do you expect from this team? Because I think overall, if it's not an A, I think it's at least a B+.
Yeah, for me, I would say a B+, even though, again, I don't like doing the grades just because you just open yourself to get burned at that point because the NFL is just so fluid with how things work out. But yeah, I mean, at worst, I would say a B, maybe a B+. The biggest thing, though, again, that we have hyped on just this whole entire podcast here is just the athleticism, the versatility, the competitiveness, and the depth. I think that Ballard had a plan going to this draft, and he said, okay, we're going to get deeper, we're going to get faster, and we're going to continue that off-field, you know, intangibles that we have with these guys. And, you know, he hit the nail on the head with all those guys. You know, he did everything he set out to do in this draft, and overall the roster just got much better. So from that aspect, it's hard to complain whatsoever about this draft class. He got a lot of upside guys that are going to really benefit from this coaching, and I think a couple of them are going to turn into really good players here in this league.
Closing things out here, Zach, are you going to be surprised? I mean, I was thinking about doing a 53-man depth chart. There's going to be some surprising names if some rookies really show out in camp. There's going to be, I think, some really names that Colts fans don't expect they're going to get cut in training camp. There's how much talent on the roster now.
Yeah, no, it's going to be a tough battle. You know, last year there was maybe, if I had to guess, I'd say 40 to 45 guys who deserve to be on this roster. We could be looking at this next year. There could be up to 60 guys that deserve to be on the roster, but just won't make it because of how talented it is. So again, Ballard, just hats off to him for just improving the depth and improving the competition. And that competition is going to bring out the best in them. You know, people always say competition just brings out the best in people. And I think that all these young guys fighting for some spots is going to be really good for the team.
Absolutely, Zach. Hey, I appreciate the time and coming on, and I enjoyed the draft, and you should go follow him over at ZachHicks2 on Twitter. Also follow his work over at Stampede Blue. Did a really fun job during this draft process. Zach, appreciate you doing what you do in your film rooms. And anything, closing thoughts you want to say to the Colts out there as far as this draft class goes?
Yeah, I mean, again, this is going to be a really exciting season here. I really like a lot of these players. I like, again, what Ballard was targeting with them. You know, it wasn't just, I'm going to take the best players. I'm going to take the best player that fits us and fits what we want to do. And I think that's just so important for a young team. So I think the Colts are in just some great hands as Ballard continues to do what he sets out to do. I just think that's so important for a young team. And the Colts have a really bright future, and you can just tell from this and last year's draft class.
All righty, folks. So this is for today's episode. Appreciate everyone listening in. As always, back to you guys tomorrow for our next episode.